Welcome to the Content and Media Matters podcast, a series of interviews with key leaders throughout the industry, all brought to you by the Content and Media team at Newco, a specialist global recruitment and executive search firm.
Welcome to the Content and Media Matters podcast. Your hosts today are me, Tim Meredith, Business Manager of the Content and Media team here at Newco, and Abby Burnham, Associate Consultant. And we are delighted to be joined today by Martin Spalius, the SVP and General Manager at Acedo TV. Martin started his career at Unisource Business Networks and over the next 20 years worked in a wide variety of business development, product management roles with Telia 3 Greenwich Consulting before becoming an executive director with Ernst & Young, focusing on strategic advisory. Martin has now spent the last 8 years with Acedo and is currently leading their largest business unit across EMEA and LATAM. Welcome to the show, Martin.
Thank you, Tim, and thanks for having me.
Pleasure. So to get us started, we always ask people the same thing, which is how did you first get into the content and media industry?
Yeah, that's an interesting question. The first thing that comes to mind is actually 20 some years ago, I started with that mobile operator 3 that you mentioned. And at the time, we actually identified ourselves as a media company, which sounds strange now, but you know, anticipating the video enabled by 3G, I guess the thinking was that we would be something different than a classic operator. That didn't really play out in that particular way. So I guess another answer to question is a little later in my career when I started doing consulting projects with media companies, say 15 years ago.
Yeah. And so actually, I'm really interested in this one. I'm already diverting from the questions. In terms of when, you know, 3 coming in as that first sort of UK 3G operator, that being the kind of really the crux of the pitch, the video aspect of that, why did that sort of not take off in the way that was hoped?
Well, several reasons, I think. One was coverage in the beginning. It takes quite a bit of time and investment to build out a comprehensive network. I guess the same thing that we've seen in the recent past with 5G. But also, I think the consumers weren't really ready, and we were still we were only facing the data revolution. We hadn't really entered it. So that became, I guess, the first transition from a classical voice operator to actually a data operator. So that's what happened instead of becoming a video or a media player.
Yeah, so in some ways, you know, you were on the right track with the technology, but maybe about three, four years too early and just didn't quite have the infrastructure and the sort of the user habits to kind of go with it.
Yeah, lots of great thinking, lots of bad timing.
I mean, that is the story of many, many businesses. So I'll pass over to Abby for some more questions on your past.
Yes, so really interesting to kind of hear how you got into the industry. But love to know who or what has had the biggest influence on your career.
That's a really difficult question. But I can say as much that I've had the pleasure of working with a few bosses that I've really liked. And fortunately, they've liked me and given me opportunities. And looking back, I think a common denominator of those people are that they are a great, in my mind, a great combination of heart and mind, if you may. So it took me a while, but you know, realizing that there is a way to combine, you know, the analytical mindset, the making smart decisions, with a people-centered approach. So I'm trying to live by that balance and that rule as well. But, you know, that's kind of the meta answer to that question. It's those people have really influenced me.
I know, so important as well to have those sort of mentors throughout your career that you can kind of to take that inspiration from as you've developed into your leadership positions as well. And you've worked across a range of strategic growth and leadership roles across your career. What achievement are you most proud of?
Well, some days I tend to think that I haven't achieved much at all, right? Because you tend to forget all the things, and you're so focused on you know what you have at hand at the moment. But going back again to three, actually, being part of the team who launched a totally new mobile operator was a great achievement. We started with a blank sheet of paper, basically. And had to make it all up. That was great. And also a great learning piece, of course. Even if it was maybe too early on a few points, I certainly experienced it in a great way and brought many of those things with me in my further career.
No, definitely. I think it's interesting what you're saying about not kind of looking back and thinking about your achievements. I think it's really easy to get into the habit of just focusing on what's next all the time. But yeah. I'm sure nice sometimes to kind of reflect back on those things and incredible projects that you have been involved with as well.
Well, but there's so many things, right? And of course, there's having spent part of my career as a consultant, you know, when you see a result of your advice, your strategy, or you are taking part in the implementation of such a project, and you see that it actually works, or that you can impact a global international organization, that's great, right? You can feel that, yeah, we did it for a few minutes, and then you go on and see problems of something else, right? Yeah. I guess that's the nature of humans.
No, definitely. Always more to be done. And what are the key lessons would you say that you've learned from your leadership positions that you would now pass on to your teams?
Yeah, you would have to ask them maybe. But if we talk about leadership, it's all about communication and collaboration. So the first insight there is, of course, that if you don't like people, you can't really take the leadership position. You need to be interested in people, because that's where you can make a difference, right? So doing that, of course, you need to listen a lot. But what I tend to hear myself saying is that you will never have enough information, right? You need to go with what you have and, you know, take a decision. And then if it proved to be wrong, you can change it later, right? But you can't wait for everything to be at hand, because you'll never get anywhere, right? And another item that I think this is maybe of a more practical nature, but what we have been discussing, myself and my team, a lot over the years, is how to treat business as usual as one thing and everything else as something else. And I think if you don't watch out, you can end up spending all of your time on business as usual, because there's always things happening, always things you can get involved with as a leader. But then you won't get anywhere, you won't change, right? So spending time on understanding how you can delegate, how you can limit the time you spend on business as usual, so that you can spend time on the change, on the exceptions, on the new stuff, so that you will bring your business, your team, whatever it is, forward. That's been a concurrent discussion and theme with us.
No, that's such a good point, and so important to have an eye on the bigger picture and always looking at what's next and not just on the day to day. Oh, thank you for that. Really interesting to hear a little bit about your past. And I'll pass back to Tim now to hear a little bit more about the present and the future.
Thank you, Abby. So obviously the video streaming industry, it's very big. It's got lots of aspects to it. It's very changeable at the moment as well. There's about sort of feels like three different sort of major revolutions happening any second. But what's your sort of take on the broad state of the video streaming industry? How does it sort of look to you today?
Yeah, it's a wide question, but I think maybe I'm stating the obvious here, but there is a couple of shifts going on, right? One of them is If we look back a few years, many video service providers were looking to get a greater reach, right? What are the new platforms we need to be on, or how can we reach more potential subscribers, that kind of thing, right? But that reach question is fading away, and instead there's an increased focus on the experience, because that's the tool for you to engage and retain your customers, your users, right? And then another shift, also pretty obvious at the moment, from growth to profitability. And there's also another interesting one, which is maybe not with every player in the industry, but more and more common. It's the shift from build to buy. So in the past, many players were, not finding, everything from suppliers that they needed. They wanted to or needed to build everything on their own, right? All of these shifts is they are signs of maturity, which is good, right? And of course it's driven by the macroeconomy at the moment. The increase in the money is more expensive. Of course, there's also on the consumer side an SVOD saturation that is driving this maturity, I think. And we see as an effect that there's more, this is my view at least, there's more data-driven initiatives going on than before. There are also more efficiency programs, trying to improve a video service with less cost, of course. And also, this is nothing new, but still, it's ongoing and it's changing the business model experimentation. There's one example, of course, or many, but one of them is ITVX in the UK, which was a totally new way of constructing the video service compared to the ITV Hub, where there's a mix of ad funded tiers and subscription funded tiers and a mix of live and streaming and all sorts of things. So I think we're going to see a lot more of that. That simple all you can eat subscription model may not be viable going forward. And then of course the ultimate effect in any maturing industry is further consolidation in different forms.
Yeah, in some ways, the gold rush has happened, the sort of the proliferation has happened, and now it's like, right, what's sustainable, what's going to work, what's going to survive, and then in 10 years we'll sort of, I'm sure it'll all turn around again, and it'll be like, here's the new thing, and it'll expand out again, and we'll just sort of have to follow the cycle in a way.
Yeah, exactly, and some of these the new things that we're seeing is also old phenomena coming back in new form,
like fast later, and things.
Fast. Yes, and also the aggregation model of operators is having some similarities with the old cable TV bundles, of course.
All the same ads in terms of like, oh, it's so complicated now. Couldn't we streamline it? And then the ads 5 years ago were, wouldn't you like to be independent from the aggregator? Yeah, as you say, it's gonna go around. Actually, to one of the first points you said there around sort of going from reach to kind of retention and quality of service, we did see that the health check consultancy service was announced recently, which is sort of pitch Macedo is very much being, improving user experience, mitigating the risk of churn, retention, that kind of focus. So the kind of timing of that launch, is that in your mind very much tied to that turn in the market and that kind of increased appetite for?
It is tied to that. And also if you look at it and if you talk to consumers, right, usually what they will mention when they say why they select a video service over another, it's usually three things. Obviously the content, if there's a piece of content that you really want to watch, you select the video service. The second, of course, is the price point. And the third is the experience. Mm. That's the background of trying to, for us as Axedo, trying to translate all those almost 20 years of experience we have with video streaming all over the globe into tools and metrics to actually see how can you improve your video service, how can you optimize it, right? Because it's fairly complex. It may sound simple that you change the experience, so what? But there are so many interdependencies and the ecosystem and any video system, so to speak, with a video service provider, at least the big ones, is pretty damn complex. Mm-hmm. So we want to be there and with the help of the health check to be there and discuss how can you become better, hopefully with not as much investment. And how can you tweak anything from security aspects to the tech stack to discoverability to specific performance metrics, what have you, right? There's so many things that you can choose to elaborate on, and our health check is a way to do that. 100 metrics to get a 360 view of a video service.
Yeah, no, absolutely. And as you mentioned there, being able to do that and kind of get at customers where you're not saying, hey, your platform's rubbish, buy a new one. It's more like, okay, maybe you want to buy a new set. Maybe there's something that's like, look, you just bought this. It works 80% there. Let's help you with that 20%. And it just gives you a lot more flexibility to kind of work with different customers, work with more customers, be a bit more flexible.
Yep, yeah, exactly. Yeah. And of course, this is important too. There's not going to be a given set of things to do for any video service provider. Of course, it depends on what success means for them. It depends on what their target users like and want and need.
Yeah, there's a reason that, you know, YouTube is very successful, but you don't see an SVOD service built with the same interface and way of showing you content as YouTube does, because that's very specific to them, their content, what kind of things you're watching, you know.
Exactly.
Yeah. And that will take us on to our more substantial topic that matters. Abby.
Yes. So for our topic that matters this week, we wanted to focus on sustainable video. As we know, sustainability is a huge talking point in the industry at the moment, rightly, and Axedo are committed to setting the bar on this. What changes have you seen over your time with Axedo?
Many. So at Axedo, we started several years ago to work structured around sustainability, not only the sustainable video service, but as a wider area. And at that time, I think we didn't see a lot of players in the media industry around us that had a focus, there was a lot of, you know, lack of data. We didn't know where we were, the current situation, right? And Axedo didn't either. And also in some places, there was a lack of awareness even that this was a need or a topic that you needed to attend to. And things have been moving quite a lot since then. So we see a lot of things happening. We see from Axedo's perspective, we have customers now putting quite explicit and detailed demands on us. You know, if you want to work with us, you have to do this and that, and can you answer these and that question about how you work with sustainability, the goals you have and the traction you have and so forth. That wasn't there a few years ago. And we see a lot of forums being formed. So there's obviously a discussion going on here. Not that anyone has all the answers, but we are seeing an emerging collaboration, which is good. it's being talked about in conferences and all of that. So very exciting to be part of this and to also, of course, eventually see more, more results.
No, definitely. And I think it's so important what you're saying about, you know, before you can tackle an issue, you've got to understand what the issue is and have that data there to support those changes. But yeah, definitely seeing a huge shift in the industry towards having those discussions and a real focus on tackling the issue. What is the main focus at Axedo currently in terms of sustainability?
Yeah, so we have a few things, and we, by the way, we use the ESG framework, right, to structure our work, so environmental, social, and governance dimensions, we are obviously tracking how we're doing things ourselves, right, and we have, as an example, committed to SBTI recently with targets on our carbon emissions and so forth. We are leveraging the United Nations Global Compact initiative and much more. So that's all to be in line with the Paris Agreement, basically. So this is on the environmental side. On the social side, we have something that I'm very excited about, actually. Now, this is more internal, but nevertheless important. We have employee engagement as one of the key metrics to measure performance of Axedo, to measure performance of our people, right, our leaders, and we have seen great results. So we measure this in various ways and quite detailed. And we think that with a higher engagement in the people across Axedo, we deliver better results, right? And if you look at this from a totally different perspective, there are even investors out there that look only on investment objects that have high employee engagement, right? So it does have a real impact. So we continue to talk and act on employee engagement every month at Axedo. And of course, that's a governance aspect of that as well, if we talk about the ESG perspective. Also, one of the things that we found is that we're pretty good at diversity, but we have a gender potential. I think if we measure ourselves against other tech companies, we're on par, basically, around 20% women. But we think there's so much more potential there, and we don't want to go away from recruiting people who have the right skill set and the right mindset, but we think that we need to look in different talent pools because there's potential that we need to tap into. So those are a couple of things, but the real focus, if we now look at Axedo as an external or with an external perspective, is that we want to bring players in our industry together, because we can't solve this as individual companies. We don't do it alone. We do it by collaboration. And we do it by nudging each other. We do it by, benchmarking or even, stealing from each other good ideas and good ways to make an impact in sustainability. So we're doing a few activities in that arena. We're building a sustainable marketplace. We're hosting roundtables and things like that. So that's really where you will see more of Axedo going forward.
Amazing. And so great to hear sort of specific action points that you're taking as a company as well, but also your point towards, this goes bigger than individual organizations we have to collaborate together and tackle it together in order to make an impact there. You picked up also on diversity a little bit in that conversation, and we're actually going to move on to dive a little bit deeper on that next. So I'll pass back to Tim.
Yeah, no, and actually I'll slightly go off piece with our questions, because you already mentioned something interesting there. Is we often hear professionals, you know, not unreasonably say, you know, we would like to have more gender diversity, ethnic diversity, racial diversity, what have you, in our organization, but we're often restricted by basically the long tail of the talent pool issue of, like, people need to go into certain streams of education and then they need to go to university, and at that point, and you know, that all takes about 6, 7, 8 years, so often there's just this huge lag time when it comes to skills. But you mentioned there going, okay, well, we, you know, there are things we can do to improve that, but that will take a long time. But there are other talent pools, maybe other sources you can look at. Could you expand a little bit on what you said there about looking at different talent pools to improve that diversity side?
Well, it's challenging us because, as you said, let's not only recruit from schools that we already have recruited from, or let's not post our job ads and the usual job boards. We might want to look further, right?
Yeah.
And also, it's not only where you look, it's how you look. How do we explain a position? How do we explain what the company does? We probably do it in a man's way.
Yeah.
So already there, we're limiting ourselves in a very bad way. And then to expand, you know, and maybe a shortcut a little bit as well, we of course need to make sure that we have a work environment that is equally inspiring and engaging for both men and women, if we talk about gender diversity. So we're working on finding out what those parameters that we need to change are and how we go about that for the people that we already have. How can we provide equal opportunities to grow as individuals and grow careers at Exceda?
Yeah. And what benefits have you noticed, given that, you know, it sounds like you're pretty engaged in this part of the issue is already having more diverse teams? What sort of benefits do you see when you actually engage in that, when you start getting more diversity of thought in?
Well, the benefit is that we do better business. It's a better outcome, right? And why is that? Well, different things, of course. You know, having, if you have a team that wants to or needs to achieve something, and it's homogenous, it's probably easier as a project manager or a leader to achieve that in the short term with that homogenous team. But in the long run, yes, it's stable, but it's probably also stagnating, right? So one of the things and one of the benefits of diversity is that you bring in those different backgrounds, different perspectives, different views, different ideas, different inspirations, and it stirs up things in a good way. If you have the skills to encompass it, to catch it, right? That's one benefit. Of course, the other benefit is that if we look at the endpoint of what Exceda delivers, it's an experience. It's a video experience. So who's the subject of that video experience? Well, that's a diverse set of human beings, right? So how can you pretend to bring optimal value in that setting if you don't have diverse teams? You can't.
Yeah. And it's the classic, you know, it's the classic research issue of, like, we've conducted a load of social research. It's like, okay, who did it? Well, one very specific group of men in their 40s in America. And it's like, great. I'm not sure you'll have necessarily encompassed the whole plethora of human experience because you've got standpoint issues. So no, very, very interesting to hear you talk about that.
This is more a personal view. The side effect, it's a lot more fun along the way.
Yeah, definitely so. And obviously, you know, you're sort of tackling that in your own specific ways within Exceda. Do you sort of think there are some And again, we might focus on the quick fixes because the long fixes are whole podcasts in themselves, but more broadly within the media technology space and the technology space as a whole, are there sort of things you think that would be good broad policies for the industry to kind of go, right, if you can just start doing a few of these things, that will at least get you going?
On diversity, you mean?
Yeah, on diversity.
I don't know if I'm the right person to provide a recipe for the rest of the industry.
Can you not fix this for me right now? Can you not fix it during the podcast? Okay, fair enough.
No, but I think, you know, same point here as I was trying to bring forward before, is that a diverse team will challenge each other because yeah. of the diversity, right? So that's a general tip for anyone. Challenge yourself, otherwise you'll stagnate.
And I suppose there is a really well accepted thought of, well, especially in the tech space, disruption is the key. You're trying to disrupt things, trying to think differently about it, and just trying to connect that really well established thought that's, you know, not decades, if not, you know, even longer old, and go, well, this is a way of disrupting things, bringing in new types of thought. You already agree that that's a good idea. Here's a great way of achieving that idea, and just trying to connect those ideas in a way, I suppose. Moving on to our next section, we try and like to learn a bit more about our guests. I'll pass over to Abby.
Yeah, so we've had some fantastic conversations around the industry and your career so far, but always like to find out a little bit about yourself personally as well. So how would you describe your perfect weekend?
I guess I could describe it as a weekend that is different from the one before. So
I like that answer.
It's really about the change. I am a creature of habits, I must admit, but that goes for you know, the normal weekday maybe, and you know, eating the same thing for breakfast and everything every day. But when it comes to the weekend, you know, I think change does it for me. But regardless, I think I want weekends to be work-free, ideally, so that I can recharge by a healthy mix of family, friends, and also me time, you know, either to just read a book or go golfing or whatever. So, and there needs to be a bit of activity. Could be working around the house or doing something with the kids. So a little bit of everything would be the answer.
I like that answer a lot. And yeah, so important to have that time to switch off in between working weeks and do something completely different. I'll pass back to Tim for our final question.
Yes, it's been lovely sort of hearing your thoughts on all these different topics, but we always end the show with the same question for all of our guests, which is, what is the one piece of advice you would give to someone entering the industry today?
Yeah, I think this is similar to what we discussed already in terms of challenge, right? So one of the things that I try to do with people that join my team is after 3-4 months or so, I want to have a conversation about what they've found so far, because at that point in time you probably have still fresh memories from whatever you did before joining Exceedo, and you have heard and seen and done enough at Exceedo to be able to compare. But soon enough, right, you will forget, or you will take things for granted, or you will stop disrupting. So and often there are good ideas and reflections coming out of those conversations. So my advice would be to challenge us, especially if you come from some place completely different than the media industry. You know, we need that challenge.
Wonderful, wonderful, lovely, wonderful. Well, thank you so much for your time today, Martin, for joining us on the show. It's been a pleasure to have you on.
Thank you so much.
Thank you for listening to the show. If you enjoyed it, please do subscribe and give us a rating. It really helps these stories to be found and enjoyed by more people. For more information about NewCo, we can be found at www.newco-group.com. That's NEUCO-group.com.